We're in the middle of some Kufbei Zayin about Ro Machlis Tashmesh, and I think we're up to Sif Dalet. Sif Dalet is based on a line. Basically, this siman goes more or less, at least first half of it, through the lines in the Gemara there. It says here, after the Inyan of Bedikas Shofaris, it says two lines later, Rimishlo Veses Tola Bevesta. If she has a Veses, she can attribute it to her Veses. So what does this mean? If she has a Veses, she can attribute it to the Veses. So there are up to basically three interpretations, three Pirushim on this line in the Rishonim. The mainstream shot is Tosos and the Rambam and the Ramban and the Rashba and most Rishonim. So Yeshla Veses Tola Bevesta, meaning she's not a Roh Machpas Tashmish because she can say the bleeding is from her Veses. Okay, what exactly does this mean? So the first shot, which is the Ramban and the Ramba and the Ramban and the Rashba and others, say it means Im Shimsha Samach Levesta Verasa Tola Beveses Velo Be Tashmish. Right? So if she had Tashmish at the time for Veses, and then she bled, even if it happened three times in a row, or let's say one of the three times was some of her Veses, then she can assume that the blood was not caused by the Tashmish, not massacre that she sees blood because of the Tashmish, rather it's just coincidental that it came during Tashmish. It really came to that the time of her Veses. And this says the Machaber Paskin, says the Machaber Shimsha Samach Levesta. Okay, if she, this is the Machaber, if the Tashmish was the time of her period, then it actually makes sense why assume she's a Roh Machlis Tashmish. It was because of her period, and it was coincidental that it was Tashmish. And the Mefarshim say here, if you look at Piskei Tshuva, the end is Sukkot Chof Aleph in the name of the Sidrei Tara, even if like one of the three times was Samach Levesta, then that doesn't count to be the third time, because maybe it's not because of the Tashmish, maybe it's just because of her period. The obvious problem here that the Shach deals with, that Old Rishonim deal with, is how do you have a case of Shimsha Samach Levesta? After all, you're not allowed to Mishamish Samach Levesta. So that's a technical question, meaning the din is the din. You just want to know how can you have such a case? So there are many answers that you just make up cases, and it's not halakhically a chiddush. So, for example, the Shach thinks in the end that the simplest way to say is Avrav v'Shimsha. She didn't have Heira and Chnami. She didn't have Heira. We're not asking whether she's Tzadikas or not. We're asking whether she's a Roh Machlis Tashmish or not. So maybe it's just a case of Aveira, or you could say easily Yotze Lederech Udilo Kirabeinu Tam. Right? If you don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says the Poke Tzomach Yotze Lederech just moved to Divrei Ritzoi. Doesn't mean Heter Tashmish. But the other Rishonim hold like Shad of Gemara, it's Mother Mishamish in the Veses if he's going on the road. So then you can have an easy case. The Shach gives another clever answer. He says this is based on the idea of a Ketana. A Ketana who didn't get her period yet, for the first three times, there's no Chiyav of Veses Kavua, obviously, less than three times. There's not even a Chiyav of Veses She'inu Kavua. So the first three times, there's no Chiyav Prisha at all. So it could be that, let's say, she saw one son Rosh Chodesh. Next Rosh Chodesh, there's Tashmish, and she bled. Next Rosh Chodesh, Tashmish, and she bled. Now, Igloi Mil saw that she was Koveya Veses for Rosh Chodesh. But at the time, you're allowed to be Mishamish, unlike an adult woman. An adult woman, she sees once a Rosh Chodesh, you have at least a Veses, she ain't a Kavua next Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to be Mishamish. But a Ketana, you'd be allowed to be Mishamish until she bleeds three times, then it would be Igloi Mil Smar Freya that it was a Veses. So here we have a Ketana, Shelo Rasa Gimel Pa'amim, and Achar Kach Igloi Milsa Lema Freya Shehaya Shas Vesta. Right? This is basically a small kiddush.
a katana was she's three times. The Goyim knows from Freya that it was really a Vesses, but at the time you didn't have to be Chokshish.
Does anyone say that according to these people, some of the Vesses would be the day before or day after?
Ah, yes, who says that? Anyone? The Prisha. This is the famous Machlokas Prisha and Shachmin. All these three are not interesting halachically. They're just examples. Like, you wouldn't disagree with them, right? Just like the question, is that the case of the Gemara or not? But here we have an actual controversy. But before we get to the controversy, let me just point out what the Balamor says. The Balamor says, now you have to figure out exactly how to reply. It's quoted in the Pesukei Tshuva here. The Balamor on the Balei Nefesh says the Bal Hamor, or the Razah, they always call him the Razah here, because this is not Sefer Hamor. This is a different book he wrote. He says it's a case of Veses Haguf, a Veses of coughing, or yawning, or sneezing, or etc. In which case, basically, she yawned, or she sneezed, or whatever, and she bled during Kashmish. Then, you don't have the Kasha, how could she do it? She didn't know she would sneeze. But on the other end, you could say maybe it's attributed to the sneezing, not the tashmish. Now, this gets very complicated. So he says maybe it's a veses of pihok ve'itosh. And it's a veses of pihok and itosh. And that's how, like, she could have been caught doing that. And the chiddush is that we don't attribute it to the tashmish unless we have some evidence that it's more the tashmish then the pihok ve'itosh, then the various symptoms in the guf. Okay, this is probably not controversial either, although you have to figure out, he only says half a line. He didn't say exactly how you know. Like, if in Tashmish three times, she yawned and saw dam, like, is that a problem or not? Like, how do you know when it's because of the Tashmish and when it's not because of the Tashmish? So he doesn't specify, so it needs more yawn. But here's the big controversy. Here's the big controversy. Says the Prisha, Shas Veses doesn't mean the exact Veses. It means around the Veses. It can be close to Onas HaVeses. And, for example, Veses is Chilas Laila. And it happened in the Sofayom, or maybe his example was the opposite, you know, whatever it might be. Meaning, the Veses was the very beginning of the night time, so the Onas HaVeses also the whole night, he doesn't know for Orz or Ruz. And the Romach was Tashmish happened at the end of the day. So it was like 5 minutes before the Veses, but it wasn't technically the Veses. Here you have a big Machlokes, right? Or, can you attribute the blood to the Veses not during the technical Onas HaVeses or not? Right? Is this true? Can you attribute to the Veses if it's not the technical Onas HaVeses? Or can you not? The Shach says no. He says we want a Shach. It's not called the Onas HaVeses, then you can't attribute. The Prisha says no. It's not called the Onas HaVeses. But over here we can be a little more makel and attribute it anyway because it's close to the Onas HaVeses. So here, this is a big machlokes. The Prisha says yes. The Shach says no. Again, not that this is likely to come up, but the Pesukei Tshuva quotes that all the Achronim agree with the Prisha. They say, even though a regular woman doesn't have to refrain from Tashmish then, meaning we really think she's not going to get her period if it's not the same Ona, but to be making a Ramach was Tashmish, especially since Ramach was Tashmish is rare anyway, so we prefer, you know, we logically prefer to think that that's not the explanation, then we can make as long as it's close to Onas HaVeses. Okay, so this is a big machlokes. Can it be close to the Onas HaVeses? The priest says yes, that's also grounds for Kula. The Shach says no.
He gives a very, very, very close example here. How close is
it? Right, so how close would you draw the line in the Prisha? Not 100% clear, I'm not sure. Okay. Now, this is only one shot, by the way, in the Rishonim as to what it means to Lua Vesta. The Taz here brings down another two shotin. The Taz brings down another two pshatim. His second shot is Rashi. Rashi says it doesn't mean Shimshon Somach Levesta, and then you get into the question of how can you have the case without an Aveira or with an Aveira. He says what it means is there is a pattern, which is a Veses, to Re'iyah
machmas tashmish. Meaning, she's raw machmas tashmish three times raw. Well, there's a pattern. Like, for example, it's three times on Rosh Chodesh raw machmas tashmish. There's a pattern. So, says Rashi, that's the kula. It's not that it's not raw machmas tashmish. That we're tola, what's called morkov, a combination vesis. We're tola, she only raw machmas tashmish and Rosh Chodesh. Now, you could have seen it either way. Raw machmas tashmish three times on Rosh Chodesh. You could have said, Rosh Chodesh is irrelevant. It's only raw machmas tashmish. But he says, no, we assume that it's because of the Rosh Chodesh. So then the Chiddush is, it would only happen on, let's say, Rosh Chodesh. So she only has to be Poresh on Rosh Chodesh, meaning from now on she's a Roma Machmas Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh. She has to be Poresh on Rosh Chodesh. But she doesn't have to be Choresh. Yeah?
If she's not in the future, every single time she lives without Eira in that sense, but always be told that this way. Is that the idea?
Mm-hmm.
If you go with something like an Avir Shimshar type of thing, like after these three times, so she could just always be told that, like, oh, I know I'm not supposed to Tashmish today on Rosh Chodesh, but I'll do it anyway because I know I won't go towards my.
Yeah, but she will be Chayav Karis. She will be Chayav Karis. So what's the point? Just referring to Rosh Chodesh. What's the big deal? That says she only sometimes sees Machmas Tashmish. Then she's Mutaris and the rest of the time, she's only forbidden on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, then it's really not such a big chiddush, according to Rashi. Like, that's the normal rules. We'll get them vessels and cook big tests. That, you know, you don't just, if it only happens on Rosh Chodesh, you don't assume it'll happen all the time. That's not such a chiddush. So this is not really a chiddush, according to Rashi. So, like, we agree with Rashi. We just don't think that's valid anymore.
It works both ways.
Correct, meaning she wouldn't uproot it, not on Rosh Chodesh, let's say. Okay, but well, you know, we'll see more examples of this later on. The third pshat, which may or may not exist, is the Mordechai, right? This may or may not be a pshat, the Mordechai. The Mordechai, according to the Beis Yosef and the Shach, against the Taz and the Bach. What does the Mordechai say? He says a big kula. Says the Mordechai, im yesh la veses kavua v'shimsha gimel pa'amim v'rasa, or v'shimsha v'rasa gimel pa'amim shavo b'shas vesta muteres detalinan b'maka. If she has a veses kavua, then why would she be raw machmas tashmish? She has a vesis to be raw. Why would it come to the tashmish? Meaning, if someone has a vesis, it wouldn't come to the tashmish. And therefore, even if it happened three times on a regular day of the month, we assume it must be a maka, because if she sees every 32 days, then she wouldn't see to the tashmish. Only people who it's unclear when they'll see will see to the tashmish. But people who have a vesis kavua won't see to the tashmish. And therefore, it must be a maka. This is a big chiddush. After all, maybe she sees every 32 days, and she also sees because of Tashmish. Okay, this is a big chiddush. Do we hold like this Mordechai? So the Taz and the Bach say the Mordechai never actually meant this. He meant Sivhei. He meant if she knows she has a Maka, not Stam. But do we hold from this? We do not hold from this Mordechai. Even if the Mordechai said it, according to the Shach of Yosef, he said it. He said a big kula. If you know, if you have a regular period, then you're never going to be wrong about this Tashmish. We'll have to say it's a maka. Because no one who has a regular period would be Roma. It's Tashmish. Lamaisa, that's not true. We do not assume that. We don't pass like that, Mordechai. So even if she's a Vesta Kavua, she could still have a problem with Roma. It's Tashmish. Okay. Now we're up to Sifhei, and here's where it gets tricky. Sifhei is the line right after the basic rule of Roma. It's Tashmish and Gemara. No, only Machmas Tashmish. Because Ra Machmas Tashmish is rare, and most women are not Ra Machmas Tashmish. Yeah. Okay. Now, Chesky, you appoint a substitute. Now, the Gemara says if she has a Maka,
she's tola b'makasa. Back in the sugya b'rav achas tashmish, if she has a maka, she has an injury, then she can assume the blood is from the injury and not b'rav achas tashmish, not menstrual blood at all, not because of tashmish, not because of anything else, just wound blood. And the Gemara then goes on to say, well, okay, before we get to all the details, in yesh l'maka b'osa makom, she's tola b'makasa, it says right here, meaning obviously this is the Pesukei Teshuva discussed this, I think, Chafetz. She has a maka somewhere else in her body, it doesn't help. It only helps if the maka is in the right place, which is like Pashut. But if she has a maka in the right place, there's a whole discussion of hemorrhoids a little later. Okay, I think the normal assumption is that hemorrhoids are not counted in the right place. And if she has a maka anywhere else in the body, it doesn't count, it has to be in the right place, then she's told that. And then it says a little later, but if she sees something that looks different from the dam of her maka, she's not tola. Meaning, if the dam of her maka is always this shade, she has a maka, it bleeds all the time, then during tashmish she sees a different shade, then she can't be tola on the then she can't be tola on the maka, because she sees that it's not dam from the maka, that it's really menstrual blood. The big discussion here in the Rishonim that the Torah quotes is, can we use this heter nowadays? What's the basis of machlokes? The Ramban says, you can't use this heter nowadays. Why can't you use this heter nowadays, according to the Ramban? The heter of Maka.
Oh, Maka.
Right? The heter of Dam Maka. The Ramban says you can't use it nowadays. Right? Why not? What? Because we're not Mekiyim in color shades of blood. So the Ramban says we're not Mekiyim in shades of blood, so we don't know if it's Mashunah or not. So that's the reason which it says in the Torah, right? One, because Ein Anu Mekiyim. He has a second reason also, which is not in the Torah. It's in the Torah in the name of the Raivan earlier, right? But if you look at the Ramban, he has a second reason, and this is quoted in the name of the, in the Torah in the name of the Raivan. But the Ramban has this wild chumrah. He says nowadays we're metamei damaka. He says nowadays we're metamei damaka. That was what the Raivan held, right? The Raivan held since chumrah dor zera. We're metame even damaka. The Ramban says the same thing. He says nowadays we're even metame damaka. Okay, this is a very radical shita. Shita saravid. The Ramban. That is man hazeh. Afilu vadai damaka is metame. Why? The Ravid says it's chumrah dor zera. The Ramban brings a proof because we're metame dam basulim nowadays. Remember, we're metame dam basulim? Now, what's dam basulim? Right, anyone who got married knows from Tami dam basulim. What's dam basulim? It's a maka. It's a wound. It's a cut. So that shows that in the old days they were tired dam maka. Nowadays we're tired dam maka as a low plug. So A, we're not experts to know if it's the same color as the dam maka or not. And B, even if it is dam maka or tami, I know the Torah quotes this from the Ravid in Sif like base, but it's also in the Ramban. If you look up, like two lines later in the Ramban. No, it's also in the Ravid. What? Oh, is it also? Yeah, actually, it might only be the Ramban Taka, but it's definitely the Ramban. Okay. The Maisa, we assume, not like either of these, right? The Rush and the Rashba and all the other Rishonim assume that that not like this. The Maisa, we assume the Rush, Rashba, and the Poskim assume. That it's mutter afilu bisman hazeh. And that is how we paskin, and that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we just read, in yesh makabo, so makam tolin bedam makasa, we're tola in the maka. Why aren't we worried about these two things? So here, first of all, we assume that hefmiru rak bedam or I'm not sure what the word is for dam that's not from a maka, but lo hechmiru
b'dam makka, even though we're machmer and all dam nowadays, so it's coming to Zeira, we're not machmer and dam makka, if you'll ask. If we're only machmer on menstrual blood. We're machmer in all colors or menstrual, how do you say hafrashot in English? Secretions, thank you. We're only machmer in menstrual secretions, not even if they're not blood, right? Because we don't know the exact colors. But we're not machmer on blood of a wound. That's the Chumash Rishonim never meant blood of a wound. Oh, why are we machmer in Dam Masulim? Okay, we'll guess that when we get to the Siman Dam Masulim. We'll see. There's a machlokes. There's two opinions. There's a big enough community between the two opinions. Okay, and what about this one? We're not Bucky and Mari Damim. What's the easy way to answer that? We're not Bucky and Telling Colors.
Doesn't require the keys to hold them next to each other.
Doesn't mean, right. That's what the Torah quotes from his father, the Rush. Doesn't require keys to see if two things are the same or different. You don't need the keys. Now here it's a little tricky because if they're both in front of you, it doesn't need b'kiyas. What if you remember one from a month ago? It might need more b'kiyas. But still, we assume that you don't need b'kiyas to tell if two bloods are the same. You only need b'kiyas to tell if it's an objective color. To tell if A is the same as, to know what A is, you need b'kiyas. To tell if A is the same as B, you don't need b'kiyas.
Is this specifically on a wound in the vaginal canal, or this would apply even to a blood within the uterus?
Even a wound within the uterus. Now, nowadays, I'll admit, we have less metzias of a wound in the uterus now. Basically, all these maka things nowadays, the main makas they were talking about in the old days, I'm not saying halach nafkamin, but just a common case of maka they were talking about in the old days, meant you had like a real medical problem inside the uterus. Like a fibroid or some sort of tumor, or, you know, like you had like serious health issues inside the uterus, which would cause bleeding because you had something seriously wrong with you. That was the classic case of maka in those days. That was the most common case of maka. Like in the Stam case, someone talked about a maka hundreds of years ago, they meant you had like real medical problems in your inner organs, and like maybe you'll die someday from them or something, or like you're in big trouble. That was the example they had. Nowadays, of course, modern medicine is different. Shilas we have of maka are very rarely serious issues in the internal organs, just because anyone with serious bleeding from the internal organs nowadays goes to the hospital and they try to fix them up. Nowadays, the cases we have of maka are usually scratches, not in the uterus, in the vaginal canal, which are not medically significant at all, just a little scratch, right? Scratch anywhere in your body. You don't go to a doctor for it. So the metzias is very different. The dina might be the same. But in those days, when they talked about maka, usually they meant really, really serious maka. And that's why the postman say, even if you have a ton of blood, it could be from the maka. They didn't mean a little scratch. They meant you had like a tumor. Nowadays, the makas we talk about are usually just scratches. And obviously, you don't get little scratches inside the uterus.
So I want to clarify. So a fibroid would be considered dam maka, or that would be considered?
I think that's the way you say that's dam maka. Okay. Yeah. But again, nowadays, I think we try to treat those things. I'm not a doctor. But my impression is that, you know, at least, I don't know, maybe there's some cases where treatment is not always called for, you have to ask a doctor. Okay, that's just my way of metzias. That the metzias nowadays, like, if someone gets a shaila of a maka, it's usually a question of a scratch. In those days, it was more likely to be a question of a serious medical problem, but that doesn't make enough to mean yet. So, if there's a maka, you're tola on the maka, and we pass it even mizmanazeh, you're tola on the maka. What's the only controversial part? Controversial part is, do you have to check if it is Mishuna or not? Right? The Ramban assumed you have to check. And therefore, we're not bucky to check. So the Rush said back, the Lush and the Rush is not 100% clear. He says, it's not so hard to check. Everyone knows nowadays. But the Lush and the Rush is not clear. Because in one point he says, just check, it's easy. And the other place it sounds like you don't even have to check. So this is what's unclear in the Rishonim. Do you have to check or not? Meaning, do we assume it's mutter unless you notice that it's a different color? Or do we assume it's usser unless you check and find it is the same color? So let's just put this here for a moment. Let's say, do you have to check if this dam is the same as the dam maka or not? Right, you have your dam maka,
and you have the dam of the romach was hashmish, and you want to attribute it to the maka, right? Let's say better. I'll make it clearer. The dam of roa machbas tashmish is the same as the dam maka or not, right? Do you have to check? Do you assume, well, you have to check or no? Unless you notice that it's different, then you can be told of a maka. So this is a big machlokas. Who says you have to check if you can? The Prisha and the Taz, right? And the Taz say you have to check if possible. If you have no idea, then you told of a maka. Meaning, everyone agrees that you could be told of a maka if you have no idea. The question is, if you could check, do you have to like find your dam maka and put it next to the dam of this romach v'sashmish to check if maybe it's a different color or not? So he says you have to check if possible. The shach says that, and is this only the shach? On the page, the shach says that you don't have to check at all. Meaning, minastam, you're tola in the maka. The question is, if you could just do a check, do you have to check or not? And that is a machlokas. The Prisha and Taz say, well, you should check if you can. The shach says, nah, don't bother. There's no need to check at all. Can anyone think of something that's similar to this in your day? The Taz already told us. What's the general rule? Do you have to check if you can? You have a valid kula, but you could check. You have to check. What's the general rule? The general rule is if you can, you have to check. That's the quote from Sif Aleph. Most shoftim are experts. We're talking about in the old days, before they had ordination for shoftim. Most shoftim are experts. There was no one was ordained shoftim. It was just a little heifer. So the rule was most shoftim, most people who shoft are qualified, and therefore if someone shoft and you don't know who they are, you could eat it. But if they're in front of you, you have to check. Because if you can check, then you have to check. That's the general rule, that if you can check, you have to check. In the beginning of Sachem, right, the Gemara says, well, we want to know if you find a house on Erev Pesach, can you assume they did the Dika or not? And the Gemara says, what's enough Kamina? Just check. Just ask them. The Mefarsh will explain. Because like even if the assumption is that we're making, well, they did the Dika, if you can check, you can check, you should check. So this is really, this Prisha and Shach seems to be, the Shach doesn't say too much here, but seems to be a Kolotar Kula question. What's the principle here? Let's just bring the what's the principle here? If it's impossible to check, then it's Mutter. They both agree to that. Tola b'makasa. The question is, if possible to check, we're talking about where something's mutter. Obviously, something's usher until you check. You have to check. Question is, we have something that halacha tells us it's mutter stam. Stam, we're told in amaka. We'll see why in a moment. But even if something's mutter, do you have to double check? If possible, then that's the machlokis. Says Taz, you have to. And says the shach, you don't have to. Says the Taz, you have to. Says the shach, you don't have to. Okay, what's the basis of this machlokas? The basis of this machlokas is that in Kol Tar Kula, the general rule is, even if you have like a principle telling you it's mutter, if you can check, you have to check. Like a classic example is, in Halacha L'Maase we have some like Chumra V'Alma, maybe that we're a little more machmir about this, and funny behag we're not getting into now. But let's say mainstream, most Rishonim. If you don't know, let's say you shecht the cow, and then you're about to, let's say you shecht the cow, and you can't check if it's treif or not. Then it's kosher, because most cows are kosher. But if you can check, then you have to blow up the lungs and check. So that's what we do, that's what the Gemara says. If you would shecht, then all of a sudden a wolf came and stole the insides and you couldn't check, then you assume it's kosher, because most cows are kosher. But if you can't check, you have to check. The normal rule is if you can check, you have to check. So what's the machlokas here? The machlokas here is that we're talking about a woman who's becheskes tara. right? All those cases are normally something b'chezkas iser, like someone shechted, well, the animal's treifed until they shechted, right? Or b'digas chametz, the house was dirty and to b'chezkas chametz dick until you cleaned it. So if it's b'chezkas iser, for sure you have to check. The big question here is, what if it's b'chezkas heter? So the tazah shita is that you always have to check if you can whether the item is, whether the chazaka is aser or mutter. But the shach says you don't have to if there's a chezkas heter, because the obligation to check is only for chezkas iser. Only something that's a chezkas iser that used to be treif. Then, if you can, you have to double check and triple check whether it was made kosher or not. Like a shechted animal that used to be treif when it was alive. But in this case, since the woman used to be tahora, then therefore there's no obligation to check, even if you can. So lemaisa, most poskim hold like the shach here. Most poskim hold like the shach that since there's no chezkas iser here, after all, she was tahora until this blood happened. And now you don't know if she became Nida or she didn't become Nida. Therefore, even if you can check, you don't have to check. If you notice, then you notice. But you don't have to go out of your way to check.
Right, you might just address the meaning, like, let's say, like, so if you're both right there, so when is the case occurring that you know? You just happen to see them?
Yeah.
No looking back?
Meaning, if the woman, she knows. She knows what the blood is. As soon as she sees it, she recognizes it. She's not, you know, she's an aware person. She knows the different colors.
Right. No,
but she doesn't have to, like, go to the laundry and find the one for the maca and go check.
Right.
Yeah, but the case thing where most women probably know there's no checking. But I don't know. I haven't asked most women.
So the extension, then, is that she's currently in a state of tumor.
That's the big discussion in Pesachim Chumas of Katan Chof Dalet, which says that, and that's basically what he, and we're going to come back to that later. But he says, he's going to say something much more chumer later in Sukkot Chavches. But here he says, of course, then it might depend what chazaka this woman is in. If she's b'chezkas tara, then you don't have to check. If she's b'chezkas tuma, then you do have to check. Like, let's say she was already counting, you know, she was already nida, now she's trying to get clean. Then you would have to check, right? We'll see. It could be more chumer then, so we'll get to, we'll come back to this. But that's precisely the point. Let's say she's tumea now, and you want to see if she's still tamei or not, then of course you would have to check. She's b'chezkas tuma. Yes?
Just to clarify, so we're talking about a case where she knows she has a maka.
Let's assume she knows she has a maka, right. Now, of course, we'll get to that detail in a second. Okay, this is in terms of the checking. And the truth is, the shachantah is really kotar kula machlokas. It's not a specific machlokas, but raw machlas tashmish. It's really kotar kula machlokas. Now, Jacob, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to... you'll apologize to me for Nigala Rick on the first picture. Now, here comes the tricky part. Fine, you know what? Whatever we pask in this way, you have to check, you don't have to check. It's not the biggest deal in the world anyway. So, you know, even according to the Taz, so she'll check if she can. Everyone agrees if she can't check, she's okay, right? So the Machlokes in the Shabbat and the Taz is very small anyway. Like, if she can check, does she have to go through the laundry and check? Okay, we're making it. Even if we'd be Machmir, it wouldn't be so hard, right? It wouldn't make a difference in anyone's life. It would be a very small chumrah. The question is, what counts as a maka that you could be tola in? And this depends on the next line, the next line in the Braisa, which is actually the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Vav. I'm pretty sure the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Vav is the exact lashon of the Braisa needed of Samach Vav. Nemenes isha lomer maka yeshli boso makom shadam yotze mi mena. Pretty sure that's the lashon of the Gemara. Let's see, says the Gemara. Nemenes isha lomer maka yeshli bo makor. Okay, makor, so makom, same thing. Shemi mena dam yotze. Okay. Good enough, right? Now, the big question here is, where do you put the comma? Right? Or, better yet, where do you put the quotation marks? Come up the same thing. What do I mean by that? Ellie knows what I mean by that. Right? So here's the question, right? We can erase this. Let's say we're told of a maka. The question is, what counts as a maka? So one thing clearly you need a maka. The acronym, right? In... this is in the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkaten. I know there's a lot of Pesachei Tshuvas here, and we're not going to go through all of them. I'm just going to mention the most important things. I'm just going to cause the most important things. But in the Sifkut and something, all right, it'll come to me when I stop thinking about it. But the he says something here that just because she has painful tashmish, that's not a maka. L'kuliyala, painful tashmish is not a maka. Meaning a lot of people have, unfortunately, painful tashmish. Okay? The truth is, it's one of these mysteries that a lot of women have painful tashmish and think like, oh, that's just like their bad luck, whatever. They don't realize that you could go to a doctor or a nurse or a therapist or someone and you could solve it. But, okay, that's for, important for causing kala classes, etc. Big Masorah to kala classes, you have to teach all the kalas that, like, God didn't make tashmish to be painful. That's many places in Shas you've seen out that way. And that if there is, then it's a problem that can be fixed. It's not like a tough life. But either way, when it comes to here, for sure, just painful tashmish, that's not a maka. Scientifically, just painful tashmish is so broad that it doesn't necessarily mean that there's significant odds of causing wound blood. But we're talking about she knows she has something wrong. Whatever it may be, she knows she has a maka. The question is where to put the quotation marks. So what do I mean by this? What I mean is, there's subtle, insignificant differences between the Lashon of the Gemara and the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, but it doesn't matter. It works the same for us, so I'll just use the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. Someone want to read me the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch? Memenes Isha Lomar? Maka Yeshli? Be'oso Makom? Shehadam Yotze Mimena. Okay, now, it doesn't have to depend on the quotation marks. Okay, I admit, you're going to say, no, I can get it to work no matter where the quotation marks are, fine. Shkayach. But this is a good way of illustrating it at the very least. What does she have to know? She has to know that, what is she believed in? She's believed as a maka, or she's believed when she says she's a maka, or she's believed when she says there's a maka that the blood's coming out of. Right? These are two ways of reading it. One way of reading is she's believed to say she has a maka. And if she has a maka, then mistama, the blood's coming from the maka. Right? Whose way is this? Among the famous two Rishonim, according to at least the way Beis Yosef understands them. She's believed to say she has a maka. All she needs to say is she has a maka. Then we figure out the dam comes from it. This is the Rashba. Now, I know there's a machlokas whether the Rashba said it or not, right? But at the very least, this is the Shach says the Rashba didn't say it. But this is the red equals, this is the Rashba, at least according to the Beis Yosef, against the Shach. The Shach says the Rashba never said it. He says that if she says Maka Yeshli, we conclude that Hadam Yotze Mimena. Meaning, if she says she is a Maka, we conclude that the blood is from the Maka. That's the Rashba. As opposed to the Mordechai, what does the Mordechai say? Exactly, says the Mordechai. And the Shach, by the way, holds that no one disagrees with this. The Shach holds the Rashba also meant the Mordechai. They just used slightly different language, so it was confusing, but they really meant the same thing. Right? What is the Shach that Rashba says? Rashba says, she doesn't have to know that it's bleeding. So the way most people understand the Rashba, that all she has to know is she has a maka. She doesn't have to know it's bleeding. And what the Shach says, no, of course she has to know the maka is bleeding. She just doesn't have to know it's bleeding this moment. Right? I'll clarify that in a second. Says the Mordechai, no. If she says, maka yeshli shemimena yotze dam, we are tole bimaka. But if she just says maka yeshli, even in the right place, then we're not tole. This is known as the machlokes, whether according to the Rashba, the Mordechai says, we're only, what? I'll try to use Lashon Ramah, that says, get a different color, a neutral color. The Mordechai says, we're only tolin bemaka she Yadua Shemotzia Dam, only if we know the Maka is bleeding. And the Rashba says, Tolin B'maka Afalpi She'eno Yadua Shemotzia Dam, even if we don't know that it's bleeding, as long as there's a Maka. So the Rashba is a much lower standard, the Mordechai is a higher standard. Now, the Mordechai standard is, this is clear from the Echron later, you don't have to know that it's bleeding this second. You just have to know that it's generally bleeding. Meaning, it's enough to know that it generally bleeds. You don't need to know that it is bleeding this second. You don't need to know this bleeding this second. You just need to know the general bleeding. The modern day achronim say, even if you know the diagnosis of what type of maka it is, and you know that that maka generally bleeds, that also counts as knowing that it bleeds. You know, if you know an exact diagnosis. As opposed to the Rashba, just any maka, even if the doctor will tell you, oh, this kind of maka, it might bleed, it might not, nobody knows, you know. But then the Rashba would be told that. Well, the Mordechai would say, no, you need to have a known source of blood. It's not enough to have a known potential source of blood. You need to have a known source of blood. And just to review, the Shas is, the Rashba is the same as the Mordechai, just in different words. When he said you don't have to know that it's bleeding, he just meant you don't have to know it's bleeding this second. But you do have to know it's bleeding this week, this day, this time, this period
of
your life.
If you know it doesn't bleed, no one says.
What?
If you know it's a market that doesn't bleed, does anyone say you can rely on that?
Not for Re'iyah. For Ksamim, we'll see, it's a little different. But no. Then, I mean, why should okay, so this is the famous machlokes in the Rashba and the Mordechai. Again, if you assume it's a machlokes in the Rashba and the Mordechai, the Shach thinks it's not. He thinks it was just a misunderstanding because the language used is so subtle and confusing. But most people assume, like the Mechaber and the Ramah and the Beis Yosef and etc., most people assume that it is a machlokes Rashba and Mordechai. The question is just how we paskin. Meaning, how do we paskin? If it's a maka that you know bleeds, then avada you're told in it. That's, everyone agrees that's much of the question. What about a maka that you don't know if it's bleeding or not? That is the big machlokas, and the Machaber doesn't really get into it. But the Ramah makes a very complicated pshara, very complicated compromise based on, not even based on very, very explicit late Rishoni Ashkenaz, often based on Diyukim. In the Rishoni Ashkenaz, who came in the 100 years before the Ramah. So let's see what the Ramah says. In the end, the Ramah says that, you know, if you don't count Ksamim, there are three cases when he's made. So, what's the din of when are we tole bimaka? So, the Ramah says, Ramah, the kol zeh Isha Shiyeshla Vesas Kavua, Vyazikol Litl Shalomashas Vesta, Makasa. This if she has a Vesas Kavua. And then if it's she has a Vesas Kavua and it's not now, if she has a Vesas Kavua and it's now, you're told of a Vesta. That we know. That was the previous set. But if she has a Vesas Kavua and it's next week, then you are told in the Maka, Afi Shainyo Das Bavadish Makasa Motsiyadami, even though you don't know that the Maka is bleeding. So says the Ramah, what's this based on? Kemashma tzadiyuk from the Piskei Marai from the at the end of the Trumas Hadeshin. So it's a diyuk from the Marai. The Marai from Shol Israel went off of the Trumas Hadeshin. Usually, like all the other stuff in the Marai are put in the back of the Trumas Hadeshin. Now they call the Trumas Hadeshin Chiluk Beis. So it's a diyuk from the Marai. Okay, what's the svara? What's the svara for this? So says the Ramah. Case one is Yesh La Veses Kavua, and it's not now. We're not talking about Sif Dalet. Yesh La Veses Kavua in 2 weeks from now. Now, if she's Veses Kavua in 2 weeks from now, that makes it a little less likely that it's menstrual blood, because, after all, if a woman has a Veses Kavua, probably the menstrual blood is waiting for them. And Maka She'ena Yadua, or She'eno Yadua, think im motzia dam olo. Right, so you have this substandard maka, and you have a vesis kavua. Those two factors together are enough to be nakel. What's the svara for putting these two factors together? So here it's interesting, maybe not in terms of the svara, but in terms of makor, how does this relate to the Mordechai? So the Shach says, this is really the same machlokas we have on the board before. I don't remember where. Remember I had like three Mordechai? The same exact machlokas. Says the Shach, the makor of this, says the Shach, it's a tseruf of the Mordechai in Sif Dalid. I don't mean he's in Sif Dalid in Shulchan Aruch. I mean that we mentioned Sif Dalid, right? Plus the Rashba in Sif Hei. Meaning, according to the Mordechai Sif Dalid, if she has a Veses, then she's okay, even if she doesn't know if she has a Maka. Having a Veses is its own heter. According to the Rashba, having a Maka is its own heter. You have two of these together, and you put the two Shitas together. That's the Shita of the Shach, who says, the Mordechai says the Veses alone is a Kula. The Rashba says the Maka alone is a Kula, so you put them together. The Bach and the Taz say that, no, this is exactly what the Mordechai was talking about. When the Mordechai said, we're Mako, if she has a Vesis Kavua, and it's not today, he only met with the Maka. So it's not a Tseref of two different things. The Mordechai himself meant this by Vesis Kavua. That's what I had on the board before. It was controversial if there was a third shot there. Did the Mordechai really mean if you have Vesis Kavua, then it's Mutter, Tolo Vesta? So that's the same Machlokas. He says that the Mordechai meant just Veses Kavua is Matir, and we wouldn't rely on that Chas V'Shalom, but together with the Rashba we are. And he says, the Mordechai only meant that a Veses Kavua is Matir together with a Maka. Now, the Svara might be the same, I just mean like how it relates to the Mordechai is different. Like, is this exactly the Psak of the Mordechai? Or are we putting the Mordechai super bigger Kula together with the Rashba? Okay, either way, the Svara is clear. On the one hand, you have a Maka. It's not such a big Maka, but it's at least some evidence that it might be for the Maka. On the other hand, you have Veses Kavua. It's not such a big evidence, you're not Roh Machas Tashmish, but a Veses Kavua is a partial evidence that it's less likely to be Roh Machas Tashmish, assuming it's a Svara that you don't have to agree with. That if someone has a regular period, they're less likely to grow up as Tashmish. And a Maka makes it more likely that it's a Maka. So you put those two together and you get a Kula. Okay.
I think we had on the word before in the Shach that the Shach version of Mordechai Tola than Makasa.
If I did, I didn't mean it. Okay. But I don't remember what I had on the board, so I didn't take much notes. Now.
It's
just what the Mordechai meant. According to this, the Mordechai himself was super machmir. He says even if you don't think you have a Maka at all, if you have a Veses and it's not today, then we assume it was just a scratch.
So you're saying it's Maka?
Yes, but the Mordechai himself doesn't require any knowledge of a Maka. As opposed to this
track. Right now you're saying it must be a Maka, but not any pre-knowledge.
Correct, exactly. Precisely, yes.
Is that just to be mad to her that they don't have to get divorced? Hold that thought.
Okay, excellent question. Hold that thought. So, here we have a big one focus, one second. So here it's a little tricky. This says the Taz, actually, maybe I shouldn't have said for the Taz there. The Taz is actually a little more. Let's leave the Bach there. I'm sorry.
we have? Who needs a barco? No, needs a ref.
Oh,
anyone know which shear needs the barco?
Is that a presenter?
Which shear is using that?
The ref is using it tomorrow morning.
Okay, Machar B'Teisha.
Okay,
so that. Here the Taz here in Sukkot Yod is a little more machmir. And Sukkot Yod is very. But he concludes that let's just do here. He says here that even the Mordechai only meant to be Mako. He says, no, the Mordechai didn't mean to be Mekel on this. The Mordechai only meant to be Mekel if she davka has a Maka Shalotzi Adam. So here, the question is, do we rely on this Kula? So let's see. Do we rely on this Heter? So here it gets tricky. The Taz says, no, we don't. The Taz says, really? The Mordechai never meant to rely on this. We can't be Mekel. Says the Taz, no. I mean, unless you have other stuff, Mahakeli says. But the Taz says you cannot be Mekel on a Maka She'en Yadua Shemotzi Adam. The Shach says that, and what's his reason? His reason is that the Mordechai actually only meant if she has a Veses, and it's Yadua Shemotzi Adam. Okay, that's his pshat. The Mordechai only meant to be Mekel if she has a Veses Kavua and Maka Sheyadua Shemotzi Adam. Okay, that's a big chumrah. He didn't even mean to add together Veses Kavua, and it's not today now, plus a Maka that you don't know if it's bleeding. He meant to be super machmir. Even if you know the Maka is bleeding, you can only make out if you're Veses Kavua. Okay, that's a big chumrah of the Taz. We don't
believe
in
the Mordechai.
What? And therefore, he says the Ramah doesn't, then he goes through and says the Ramah doesn't really have a good leg to stand on. Okay, then he says that the Shach says, what does the Shach say? He says, yes, we rely on this Heter, but only for Ramachos Tashmesh, not to make her Tahora. Meaning, if she is this case, she has Veses Kavua and it's not today. So now it's Shalom B'Shas Vesta. And she's a Maka and she doesn't know if it's bleeding or not. Then, if this happens three times, you're Mekel, she doesn't have to get divorced. But she's still Tmeah and she needs Shiv Nekiyim to go to the Mikvah. She's still Tmeah for 12 days. I mean, our minute was 12 days. We'll see why when we get there. We'll see what happens to Tavivav. So the Shach says basically for Romach was Tashmish is a valid heter, but in like everyday life, a woman has a rabbi Shaila, my Anida, my Tmei or Tahora, then we're not Mekel. So says the Shach that we are yes to permit her to stay married, but no. For regular nida purposes, meaning she is tmeya, but not romach mas tashmish. She's tmeya, she needs to go to the mikvah, but she's not a romach mas tashmish, which means that nowadays we have less romach mas tashmish shailas. If a woman comes with a shaila, look, I found this blood during tashmish, or I found this blood in the bedika. Right? I found this blood. And you should know, I have a Veses, and today's not the Veses. And I have a Maka that I don't know that it's bleeding. And you say, well, you have a Veses, and today's not the Veses. Plus, you have a Maka, you don't know if it's bleeding, so you're Tahora. You can just assume it's Maka blood.
The answer is, the Shach says no. We're only makel to let her stay married and not be Ramachos Tashmish. But we're not makel to make her Tahorah. What's the difference? Why not say Manashah? This is true because we're saying Manashah. Either it's Dam Mach or Dam Nida. What's the difference? Chesky, what's the difference? Right, so there are two formulations of the difference. What's the difference? That's the Shach. What's the difference? The Shach says because of Iguna. Now, technically, maybe this is not Iguna. Iguna, well, it's only Iguna the third time.
Right.
The first two times it's not Iguna. But it's still a big deal to Lahotzi Isha Mivaila. It says Lahotzi Isha Mivaila and Iguna. Meaning, if the third time she'll be in Iguna, and even if it's just the first time, it's still divorce. Divorce is a serious thing. Ms. Bayek's going to cry. I mean, maybe if it was the first marriage. In any case, it's a big deal. So therefore, says the Shach, because it's a kula for shelo lehotzi isha mibayla and aguna. It's a kula to save the marriage. Okay, let's put it in English. That's easier. He says that it's a kula to save the marriage. Okay, but that's only if it's saving the marriage. But to make them forbidden to each other for 12 days till she goes to the mitzvah, we don't need a kula.
I was a little confused by this because the whole rash goes to the fact that we want to be maker for her so she'll never be able to escape the Zion and Kiyam if she has a macho, which is So isn't the Shach...
So the later Achronim say that according to the Shach, you'd also, if it was a chronic condition,
right,
you'd also be makel if she doesn't have to go to the mikvah. Correct.
Okay.
And then when the Shach says or mach when you shove in the key, and that's what's not chronic.
Okay. I mean, he would. Okay.
Yeah. However, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes from the Chavos Das and Rabbi Kiva Eger on the page says the same thing. The Chavos Das and Rabbi Kiva Eger say a different shot. Said the Chavos Das and Rabbi Kiva Eger, they say because ro mach was tashmish is just a kind of vesas. And we paskin vestos are midrabanan, exactly. Vestos are drabanan. So we're makel. So that's all. You can make up for Ramachas Tashmish. That's only vestos. And vestos are drabanan. But you can't be makel to say she's the Hora. That's a shiloh needs to do raisa. Okay. Then after we knew it be, what if she had a chronic condition? Then according to the Shach, you'd be makel. Shalola Hutsiyami Bala. And according to the Chavos Das and Rabbi Kiva Eger, you wouldn't, because she's also going to mikvah. She can't do herself in the Raisa. Okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. What
does Vestos have to do with? Ramach was Tashmish is Vestos. She's Koveya Vesis to see during Tashmish. So she can't do Tashmish because of her Vesis. But since Vestos is Drabana, it's only Mr. Drabana. Yes. After she goes to mikvah. So therefore, it's Shaila Doraisa, is she going to need or not? We have to be Machber. But if Shaila Dorabana, does she have a Vesses of Ramachos Tashmish or not? We can be Makel. That's an interesting question. That's a great question. Okay, so you have to look inside the Chavos Das, see how he works that out, though, meaning he himself, particularly. Okay, we'll leave that for now. Okay, so this is the sheet of the Shach. The Shach says that it's only takes away Ramachos Tashmish, but in regular life, dealing with just Tumah V'Tahara, not Ramachos Tashmish, it still makes her forbidden to her husband, and she still needs Shiva Nikiyam. Does everyone agree with this? So first of all, the Bach says, no, the Pshat and the Ramah, most are going to agree this is Pshat and the Ramah. So this is A, B, C, D, Ramah. The Pshat of the Ramah, I am no Debi Huda, who proves that this is Pshat of the Ramah, and the Bach, and the Knesset Yechezkel. The Knesset Yechezkel says even the Shach really meant to be Mekel. And that's where Duck says the Shach is only Machber about blood that doesn't come during Tashmish. Blood that does come during, well, okay, that's the in between. Let's leave that. But basically, let's see the Ramah and the Bach, and the no Debi Huda says he's sure the Ramah means not like the Shach, they say, nope, yes, we rely on it totally. The Knesset Yechezkel is something in between B and C, which he thinks the Shachmans that no one agrees with. He says, well, if the blood came during Tashmish, since we're making for Ramachos Tashmish, we're making Lagamri. If the blood came on Abdika, since we don't have to make for Aguna, so we're not making. Okay, that's in between. The Ramah, even though the Ramah is not 100% clear here, but it says here that look at the note of Yehuda who proved that the Ramah is Mekel Lagamre, and it seems to be a good proof from other Ramahs, and the Bach is Mekel Lagamre. They say, no, we rely on this Lagamre, even she doesn't need to go to the mikvah. We rely on it totally, and she is Tehora Lagamre. She doesn't need to go to the mikvah. Okay, those are the three opinions. Shach says, don't rely on it at all, because it's all based on this Mordechai one way or the other, and the Mordechai didn't mean any of this. Right? Here we say, the Mordechai, according to the Taz, when it'll fill in here, this a big Chumrah, only meant that Vesas Kavua is Matir together with Maka Sheyadua Shemotziyadam. This is a big chumrah, because according to this, the maka itself doesn't help, even though it's Yidush Matziyadam. Okay, Lemaisa, there are three opinions. The Taz says these two factors together don't help at all. The Shach says they helped make her not get divorced, but she still needs to count 12 days and go to the mikvah. And the Bach, the Ramah say, again, the Ramah here, you could interpret a different way, no Yehuda brings other Ramahs, say that, no, it's a heter gomer, she is the Hor Legamri. Lemaisa, how do we paskin on this? So it doesn't happen every day. I must admit. But Lemaisa, it's too hard to be make like the Bach. Lemaisa, we would paskin like the Shach. Okay, we'll rely on this to save her from getting divorced. We're not being makel like every Taz who has a far outshot on the Mordechai, make her get divorced. But usually you don't get shilohs, people getting divorced. Usually the shilohs are just, is she Tmei or Tahora? In that case, this Roman numeral 1, Kula, is not really going to be useful for us in a regular everyday Pesach because of the Shach, and many, many of whom follow the Shach. Even the Rabbi Huda says, I can prove to you the Ramah really meant this. But he says, but Lemaisa, even though the Ramah meant this, the Shach didn't. And Lemaisa, it's hard to be Machmir, it's hard to be Mekel against the Shach. So Lemaisa, in a regular case, a woman says, I see every 32 days, and today's day 26. And I have a Makkah, but I don't know if it's bleeding. And here's some blood. Then, blood, then it's going to be, if that, not a very common case, but if that would happen, then you would have to be machmer on that. You know, less, like, whatever, you could come up with some other factors that I haven't thought of.
Like the Shach Lagamri, or like the Shach slash Shomskot,
unclear. If it came to it, you'd really have to be eyeing more. Tzarchiyum there, because a lot of Achron are more like a Rikiv Egan than Kavos Das, but then you can make the leave get divorced, and then, okay, I don't know, you might have to ask a big posing in that case, if you don't want to make them get divorced. Yes?
Shach seems to say he's Pshat even within the Ramah,
right? Yes, he says Pshat even within the Ramah, but most Achron disagree with him within the Ramah. You're right, he says it even within the Ramah, but most Achron disagree within the Ramah.
Okay, I also didn't understand what he meant.
Here, let me just add a footnote, you're right. Lefi no de Bihuda virov achronim neged Shach. Right? Because the Shach says the Ramah meant like him. But most achronim, even if they're machmir like the Shach, like the Nebuchadnezzar says, but he's not convinced that's after the Ramah meant. Yes?
After, like, he presents his machlokes with the Bach, he says, Lefi's the Nira de Mahatir, El Baila Mishin Yikiva.
You should only be matar to remain married to her husband, because of
ego. No. I didn't get the connection. He's a near it. But like, now that I explained...
Are you reading the Shach?
Yeah.
I have to find the...
It could be something that maybe they should ask.
Yeah, you should ask later, because it's a matter of specific words that, unfortunately, we don't have time to go through all that together. Okay, Victor. That is the first case of Kula, and we've seen that Lemaisa is not such a great Kula for everyday life.
Clarify.
Jacob.
That would be even in a case where, like, the revolt was confident in a maka?
No. Even in the case where you're confident there was a maka, but you're not confident that the maka bleeds.
But if the revolt sees the blood and says...
That's a maka. That's different. That's a maka that bleeds. Here we're talking about a maka that doesn't bleed. What's this?
It's not a maka.
Sir, here. That's a Tlia. Okay. Avra b'shuk shel whiteboards. Okay, that is Roman numeral one. Now let's go on in the Ramah and see case two. Says the Ramah. V'chein im eim laveses kavua u'safik adam b'min amakar minat stadim talin b'makar mikar sveik sveik safik minat stadim b'min amakar in tushalom b'min amakar shem b'min amakar makar havim yodua shabab b'min amakar afal pishi ish l'makar b'makar eino tala b'makar me'im laveses elam ke. Okay, let's go back to that. What's the second kula of the Ramah? The second kula of the Ramah. And here it's based on a Shari Dura, but again, Kim Mashu Shari Dura, it's not 1,000,000% explicit. The Ramah is definitely stretching a little here. Says the Ramah, if you have Sveik Sveika, what's the Sveik Sveika? Safik Tzadim. Well, let's put it out this way. What's the case? The case is Safik Dadim Safek Makar, meaning the classic case we're discussing Sif Hey is we're continuing from Sif Beis. It's a case where you did that trick, that test with diagnostic test with the shoferes and the kisam, and she discovered it was from the Makar. But let's say she hadn't done the diagnostic test. Let's say she just found it on the Dika cloth. Right, or he found it on his Eder. Had no idea if it's from the Stadim or from the Makar. So it's a Safek Stadim Safek Makar plus Maka. She'eino yadua, if it's bleeding or not, right? Those two together are good enough. Why? Because the svara is very pashut. The svara is that this is a sfeik, sfeika. Why? Because maybe it's studim, and maybe it's makar, and even if it's in the makar, maybe it is damaka. And maybe it's Damnida. Notice I didn't draw a chart with four boxes. Because I'd get in trouble then. But I drew a flow chart. So here you have, you know, classic Sveik Sveika. And here it would be okay, here okay, here bad. So that's a heter of Sveik Sveika. That's the svara of the Ramah. Now, of course, you have that one tonight, which is in all the Achronim. This Sveik Sveika only works if the Makar is in the Makar. If the Makar is in the Tzvadim, it's only one suffix. Suffix Tzvadim, suffix Makar. Right? So you have to just add one point. A Makar, all the Achronim point this out. The Makar has to be in the Makar. Think about it. If the Makar is in the Tzvadim, it's only one suffix. Either it's from the Makar in the Tzvadim, or it's done needed from the Makar. There isn't a Sveik Sveika. But if the Makar is in the Makar, it's Sveik Sveika. It could be Tzvadim. And Tzvadim, there could always be scratching. Because that's where the tashmish happens, so it can often get scratched. And even if it's not studded, it could be hit, and from the makor, it might be from the medical problem, the tumor in the makor, or whatever it might be, or it might be from menstrual bleeding in the makor. And menstrual bleeding, by the way, I don't mean it has to be like based fully on the time of the month. I just mean like it's from the what they call the endometrial lining, from the tight place where the blood comes during menstruation. It could come any day of the month due to hormones. But it's because hormones makes a lining shed and come out. As opposed to it's because she has a wound that opens the blood vessel and bleeds, just like a regular wound. Okay, so here, Sveik Sveika, that's the svara of the Ramah. Okay, and there are many people who agree with the Ramah, but who famously disagrees with the Ramah? The Shach. The Shach disagrees with the Ramah, and this gets us into the Shach disagrees with the Ramah because of specific shittas he has about Hilchas Nida. No, the Shach disagrees with the Ramah because of specific shittas he has about Kolei Sveik Sveika. He actually says, look in Yud Aleph and Yud Gimel of Kolei Sveik Sveika, which I assume we all did. And there he says, and here we get into, see, the big problem is the Shach gives these Kolei Sveik Sveika as if it's like he just like heard them from Moshe Rabbeinu on his way down from Har Sinai, Kolei Sveik Sveika. And then it's left to, and that's on the daf of our Shulchan Aruch. It's left to a lot of Achronim who are not on the daf of our Shulchan Aruch to point out that you can find Ramahs and Rishonim all over the place, all over Dalek Chalkei Shulchan Aruch, who don't hold to the Shach's Kolei Sveik Sveika. Because none of the Shach's Kolei Sveik Sveika are in the Gemara. all the shachs kol yisvik seger are in a rishon someplace. But just because he finds it in a rishon someplace doesn't mean that most rishonim agree with him. Doesn't mean the Ramah agrees with him. Doesn't mean the Machaber agrees with him. So all these kolim are controversial. And here's where it gets tricky. The Shach points out that there are two problems with this. The main problem with it is, he says there are two problems. Number one, it's a sfeik sfeik of mishem echad. Meaning, both sfeikos are the same category. After all, every dam from the tzadim is, of course, a maka. There's no other way to get dam out of the tzadim besides a maka. The tzadim don't have any other process of bleeding. So really, maybe it's a maka, maybe it's not. Maybe it's a maka, maybe it's not. That's called sfeik sfeik of mishem echad. It's all the same question. Just to say it twice doesn't make it two sfeikos. So the Shach objects. So the Ramah says this is a good sfeik sfeika. But the Shach says this is an invalid. Here, better than good. We'll use more precise lashon. A valid sfeik sfeika. He says, no, this is an invalid sfeik sfeika. Why? Mostly for two reasons. Because it's a sfeik sfeika mishem echad, meaning both sfeikos are really the same halachic category. You can say tzadim all day long, but tzadim is halachically a maka. And maka is halachically a maka. So you're asking the same question twice. Just because you're asking the question twice doesn't mean it's sfeik sfeika. It has to be two separate questions. And it's a sfeik sfeika she'eno mishapeich. Now, these two are very similar. Basically, there are two rules of showing that a something that looks like two sfeikos is really one suffix. One is to say, it looks like two sfeikos, because both sfeikos are the same thing. The other is to say, it looks like sfeik sfeika, but it's really only one suffix. What does it mean it's not mishapik? A real sfeik sfeika, you can ask suffix A followed by suffix B, or suffix B followed by suffix A. But over here, how about if you went the other way around? Could you first ask if it's damaka or damakor, or damnida, and then ask if it's from the sudden, right? What happens if you try to be mahapichet? Let's try to be mahapichet. Hipoch. Hipoch just means going the other order. We first say maybe it's damaka, in which case it's okay. And maybe it's damnida. And then we say, what's the next suffix? Maybe it's studim. And maybe it's from the makor. And then we get a great sfeik sfeika, no matter which direction we go. But no, that's lunacy, right? If it's done neither, of course not from the tzadim, right? So you can't reverse it. If you can't reverse it, then it's not a valid sfeik sfeika. Okay, what's the svar behind it? You could view it more technically as, so if you have two ways to present it, you have to present it in the more chomer way and say it's a single suffix. Or you could view it more logically as the fact that you can't reverse it shows that it was never really two separate questions in the first place. It did look like first. And then it's almost the same as Shem Echad. So these are big problems the Shach attacks the Ramah from, and that doesn't work, right? Einu mishapich. Okay, now here we're not doing Tlali Sfeik Sfeika now. Scratch is still a maka. I never heard of a halachic difference between a big maka and a little maka. So, to get out of this, you know, now the, I think the Piskei Tshuva quotes here, there are Acharonim who agree with Ramah on this. Maybe in Sivkatan, I know there's a lot of Piskei Tshuvas. But yeah, Sivkatan Chavkes, I even know Yehuda who disagreed with the Shach and agreed with the Ramah. The Shaper Matir and Kan Misham Sveik Sveika, Uminelo Tazua, and don't move from this. At least if it's a Cheskes Tara, and then he also quotes, I think, a Bris Avraham, who says the same thing. So, the Ramah, we'll just add the Nevi Yehuda, that's good enough. And the Shach disagrees with this. Okay, this gets very complicated. How are you going to address the objection of Shein Echad? How are you going to address the objection of Mishapeh? Really, this, I mean, this really seems to come down to whether there's really a rule of sfeik sfeika mishapeich or not. Pashas, the Ramah just doesn't hold there such a rule. The Ramah never said this rule. Pashas, he just doesn't agree with this klal sfeik sfeika. Many Acharonim disagree with this klal sfeik sfeika.
Isn't it a very logical rule? Like, meaning, even if you, I didn't know the shots that I might have thought of this on my own. It's not all two questions, it's really one larger question. And you could frame it any other one of these ways, but.
Yeah, at a a certain point, it's going to be hard to prove logically whether we think one way or the other. It's tricky. Anyway, Lemaisa, I think what the Rama would object, I don't know exactly what the Rama would say. I know what a lot of Chorin would say. But the Rama might say is, what would the Rama say? The Rama might say that there's no such rule. He just doesn't think there's a rule of fixed seitan as hapech. It's not clear that there's such a rule.
What about Shein
Echad? There it's a little trickier, maybe with it, because there you have really more achronim who agree with Shein Echad. When it comes to Shein Echad, he could say then, this is what some of the achronim suggest, that it's not Shein Echad. A lot of achronim say, if there's any halachic difference between the two things, even a difference that's not relevant for the current shaila, but in some realm of halacha there's a difference, then that might be called not Shein Echad. Meaning, even if they're the same halachically for our purposes, but for other purposes they're different halachically, then it's not Shein Echad. It's two different categories. So it might be not Shein Echad because le'enyan taros, there might be, this is the day in the Gemara that we seem to paskin like, a different status to the blood itself if it is from maka b'makar or maka in the tzadim. Now, what I mean, there's no difference than the woman. Either way, it's not damnida. But it could be that a maka in the makar, the blood itself might be tameh, and in tzadim, the blood itself would be tahar, not femina, if the blood touched truma, not her. And therefore, that's not Shem Echad, because there really are two different kinds of makas. It's not Shem Echad. There's two different kinds of makas. There's a maka in one place and a maka in the other place, which has some halachic nachminas when Mashiach comes. And therefore, so then you get a question. Do we pass it that way? Do we not? This is what's called maka, makor mekomo tameh, that it could be that any dam from the makor, even if it's not dam nida, still has tuma, not on the woman, only on the blood itself, and nachmina, the blood drops onto truma, or other things. Okay, this is a complicated sugya in Taros, but it could be that the Rama would say to get out of it, that it's not really Shein Echad, because there are nafkaminas when Mashiach comes and we get a part of Duma.
For the Rama, is this an inherent suffix in almost any case of Nida that you're not actually like doing a physical exam to see where the blood's coming from? That, oh, maybe it comes from the uterus?
Yes, every case there's an inherent suffix of Studim versus Makar.
But, like, this case may have some reason.
Except that if it's just one suffix, that's not grounds for renatal. You need a double suffix. Now, just to be fair, they have to point out, if she has a lot of blood, then that sort of kills the sfeik sveika. Because a lot of blood can't really come from the Studim. A lot of blood could come from menstruation in the Makar, or could come from disease in the Makar. But that studim, you have little scratches, like you don't really have, unless you have, mamish, like, I don't know, do surgery with a scalpel, but it's pretty rare to have a lot of blood for the studim, so that might kill it. But certainly if you have a little blood, yeah, every time a woman does a bedika and finds a little blood on it, it could be studim, it could be makor, but we're makor, because it's only one suffix. Yeah, I think this would be built in. Okay, but halacha l'maisa, as we've seen, this is controversial. There's the modern day poskim. Some modern day poskim are very, very strong. Like the Shach, halacha l'maisa, it's not 100% clear how to paskin on this one. And even the Rabbi Yehuda is only mekel if she's becheskes tara, and then you have to get into when she's becheskes tara, when she's becheskes tuma. Halacha l'maisa is that it's not clear. But it's hard to be makel here because the machlokes in the Shach and the Ramah, and therefore halacha lemaisa, we'd say that we paskin more like the Shach, unless there are other studim lahakel. Maybe if you have other studim lahakel, you can tzarfit to the Ramah. But unless there's other studim lahakel, it's hard to be makel like the Ramah here because many achronim agree with the Shach. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, this is not such a great kula nowadays, meaning any time a woman says, I have a maka, I don't know if it's bleeding or not. And I have blood in the bedikah cloth. So it might be from the tzad, it might be from the makor. And I have a first of all, it's not so common because people don't have so many makas in the makor nowadays. right? Snake day only helps knocking the mocker. But even if it would happen, a woman would say, I have a mock in my mocker. Very rare case nowadays. Although I'm sure it happens sometimes. You know, like people do have diseases nowadays, and they're not always like fixed from today to tomorrow, right? You know, it's not, it depends if it's worth being invasive or not. You know, it's all different heshbonos the doctors make. So, if a woman would say, look, I have a mock in my mocker, but I don't know if it's bleeding or not. Which again, I'm not convinced it's so common nowadays, but if that would be the case, and then she would have a dikka cloth and say, suffix, datum suffix mock, or even for the mock, or suffix mock, or suffix dam nida, lamaisa, we would lean to be machmir, we would not be mako, you know, unless there was some other, maybe some other factor that might imply the kula that, you know, that is not common here, because the a lot of achronim hold like the shach.
Could we take it serif of the ramah here and the ramah here?
Probably, yeah, might be able to. We probably could, yeah. But again, I'm not claiming that this is a common case anyway, because it's pretty uncommon nowadays for people to have shilas out of maka and the makor. Usually all the makas nowadays are in the tzad. I'm not saying it's impossible, it's not against any law of science, it's just not so common.
So Dan was saying to be mako even for Dan.
But you, I think that's reasonable. But I don't like hold your breath for it to happen.
Right.
Also, why for the suffix something not a core, you don't need a priori knowledge, right? I mean, just say maybe you don't need to know in advance that there's something a scratch on a stud, but for the maka you do need to know in advance, right?
Because that's an interesting question. Meaning. One, always have a suffix stud means there's no known maka. The answer probably is that that because it's common for the stud to get scratched and bleed a little.
Okay, and also I think I've alluded to this that maybe we don't even pass in like that it's from the Makor of Mitame, man. Would that be a problem? That you mean the answer from Sapi is that maybe the Dam and Makor is
no, it's a shame method, not the Mishapit.
Yeah, it's a shame method. But I thought
we don't actually pass in that way. Right, so okay, but I mean, it's hard to tell because the Ramah never passed in Stone of the Tower, right? But it could very well be that we do. Not at all crazy.
We do pass again.
I mean, when Mashiach comes, we'll have to figure it out. But obviously, this would be assuming that we do pass again. Look in the Orchard of Shulchan Aruch and see what he says. Where the Echronim here discuss it. Okay. There's also a Chavos Das here that they quote. Just I have to remember where exactly it was. Maybe it's here in the middle of Sifkat and Chaf Ches, who says that we can rely on the Ramah, but it's not such a common case. If it was not a bedika or not a tashmish, there's for sure no hargasha. Then we can rely on the Ramah, but that's sort of funny because then in most cases we call it a kesev, and we know later on we can rely on everyone who reads it a kesev. So this Chavos Das is not going to be, you're going to have a very weird enough gemina for it, so we'll leave it for now. Fine, we're not going to pretend that I didn't say it. Okay, last case, Roman numeral 3. Ends the Ramah. I'm going to read back a few lines. He says, if you know the dam is from the makar, even if she has a wound in the makar, you can't be told of a makar, and ain't lavesis kavua. Right? Meaning if you don't have heter 1, vesis kavua, you don't have heter 2, it's fake, something sudden, then you can't be told that. Ellen, can you das muvad le shemakasim to your dam, unless you know it's a bleeding makar. If you know it's a bleeding makar, then pashas that's the gemara. Hey, the taz is Mordechai would say that's not enough, but pashas, that's enough. Right? So here we have Roman numeral 3. This is, without any other factors, maka sheyadua shemotziya dam. If you know the maka is bleeding, then you can be told on it, because there, a woman says she has a maka, she's the menace. Okay? You don't need other tzadim, even though the taz, the funny reader of the Mordechai, says even that also needs vestas kavua. Okay, but that's very chodesh, that's not the pashup shot. Pashup shot is that that's the case of the Gemara. That if she knows that she is a maka and blood comes from that maka, then that is good enough, and we are tola on it. What? Even if even though his example is Makar, the same would be from the Tzadim, right? Same would be from the Tzadim. Yeah, he's just, his example was just because, you know, he had already talked about Tzadim in terms of the space. I mean, okay, you're right, the Diaklosh and the Ramah, one can ask why he wrote it that way, but nonetheless, he means regardless where the Makar is, and that's a more common case nowadays, right? What if a woman, so let's say she finds out after Tashmish, but she has real evidence that she is a Maka Motzia Dam. Or she finds Dam in a Batika cloth, but she says, I have a Maka that's Motzia Dam. So in that case, it could be Dam Nida, but here, it's not like Suffolk, meaning Suffolk would be Maka, Suffolk Maka, Suffolk Dam Nida. But here, it's not even Suffolk. She knows the Maka bleeds. That's like a Vadai. She has no idea if she might have gotten her period or not. So then we say, if something doesn't beat a vade, in some ways, the maka is a known source of blood, and her period, she has no reason to think it came, then the maka is more likely, and we attribute it to the maka. And this is, okay, anyone who goes for Weitzman on Wednesdays will get a lot of practice in these things. I don't know what it was like one day. I can only comment about nowadays. I don't necessarily mean in contrast to other days. I wasn't around in the other days. But nowadays, the common shaylas are not, you could certainly have women with every single disease in the book in their makor and every, like, terrible medical condition. And it happens even nowadays, but not often. Nowadays, the common shaylas are, if a woman had, like, a very serious disease, then usually, with our modern-day diagnosis, if a woman has a more serious problem, she generally goes to the doctor to get a diagnosis, and the doctor says, this is your diagnosis, you have this exact condition. And if we know that condition bleeds, then she's a Maka Motzia Dam. The tricky case is we're talking about scratches in the Tzadim. A woman has scratches in the Tzadim, or she's after childbirth and she has stitches, which aren't fully healed or something. She has just like a regular cut, not a terrible disease. And it could even be a tiny scratch. That's when it gets complicated nowadays. The woman says, we'll see another example of Shofanar from Sif Zion, but the woman says, I think this might be from a scratch. This might be from a maka. Or it might be done either, you don't know. Then, if she has a maka that you know is bleeding, you can be told of a maka and she's the hora. But if she has a maka that you don't know is bleeding, you don't know if she has a maka in the first place, then you have to be metame here, and you have to say, it might be, but me suffik, you're metame. What we do nowadays often, and we'll see Sif Zion also, but often nowadays the problem is that a woman might have sensitive skin and get scratched and bleed, but she has no way of knowing it's a maka. She doesn't even know if she has a maka in the first place. She certainly doesn't know if she has a maka that's known to bleed. How does she know she has a maka that's known to bleed, that's bleeding? So nowadays, basically, if a woman wants to be makel based on maka, she needs to know the maka is bleeding. How do you know the maka is bleeding? You have to go for an examination, meaning either she has to be machmir, or, and we'll see other cases, but the common case is, she might have to go for an examination, and if they examine, they see there's a maka that's bleeding. You can see with the examination tools that the maka is bleeding, that she has a maka that's known to be bleeding. And if they see there's a maka, but it's not really bleeding, it's not necessarily so bad, then not so pashut. But nowadays, basically, if a woman has blood in the bdika and she wants to be makel because of maka, she needs to prove that she has a maka that's bleeding, like this Ramah, Roman numeral 3. And usually, the only way to do that is to have like prior knowledge of her exact condition, but with little scratches, like they come and go, so she would have to go to an examination, and she'd probably have to go to an examination right away, because otherwise it will disappear, because these things come and go. Scratch your finger, how long is it going to last? Scratch your finger, bleed a little. How long is it going to last? I don't know, in 24 hours it'll probably be gone. And that's what they call nowadays, they have something called a bodeket, which is just like a nurse, gynecological nurse, but someone who is an expert. You don't need real expertise, or maybe just like is willing to examine people. Chazniga purposes. So that's the new thing they invented nowadays. I think in the old days, we'll get to Sif Zion, but often, if a woman found blood and it might be a scratch, she would just have to be a maka, because she didn't know she had a maka that's known to be bleeding. And nowadays, she can. There's another option of having examinations. Obviously, it's a jerk. Okay, so let's save that for Sif Zion. I keep saying Zion. I hope I'm correct. Yeah, let's save that for Sif Zion. Okay, not so far off.
Because
you're right, I am oversimplifying, or I'm skipping.
You kind of touched on this earlier. What's considered Yiddush Emotzi Dam? What's considered Yiddush that it sometimes bleeds? What's it do with that? Like, it can bleed, but usually doesn't. Like, what are the...
Okay, excellent. Okay, good question. So let's ask two questions. No, okay, we can answer your question first. What is called... A wound that's known to bleed. Now, we don't mean we know that it's bleeding right this second. We mean we know that it's generally bleeding. So, for example, let's say we know that it always bleeds. She has a pattern. You know, this wound always bleeds. I mean, in the old days when you're talking about some big medical condition. So it was easier. Like, she has a medical condition that lots of women have, and she bleeds all the time from it, and, you know.
Well, that's something like a fibroid. Like, it doesn't usually bleed on like most days, but then like she will get intermenstrual spotting because or bleeding or whatever it is, just because like it does get a bruise, it does have like some conditions. So it's, like, which category would that go into? Something that you know exists and you know that it's known to bleed, but
right. So I think as long as it sometimes bleeds, that's good enough. As long as we know this is the kind of thing that sometimes bleeds, that's good enough. So we have a source, like we have a great explanation, right? We know that sometimes bleeds, that would be good enough. And that's what the Taz says at the end of Sukkot. Chavav, we'll get back to the part about hurting, but he says one example of a maka that you know bleeds is either you know personally that it bleeds often, you have regular bleeding from this. It doesn't mean all the time, but you have regular bleeding from this. Or you have a diagnosis, and all other women with this diagnosis have bleeding. So that also counts as a maka that's known to be motzi adam. Okay, we'll get to the third example in Sif Zion, and then we'll answer. I just don't want to get too ahead. Yes,
Ellen. How does it work, especially in this domain of the room for head punches and like gusha? So, like, what gives you the halach? Like, how does it work halach? You can just assume that it's coming from the maka. How do you know to say, oh, it's not that need, that must be a maka?
Ah, the answer is, well, if the maka is a regular maka, then it's 50-50. You can't be made up, right? But if you know the maka bleeds, the reason is because it's, you don't know anything. We don't know anything. But the maka is a more likely explanation than nida, and therefore,
why is it more likely?
Because the maka bleeds more than the period, let's say, right? It's not a maka that bleeds once a month. It's a maka that bleeds with some regularity, right? The maka often bleeds. So if the maka often bleeds, then the stomach comes from there. If you don't know where something came from, there's two explanations. You go with the more likely explanation.
That's not
a suffix. That's a rove or a father or a suffix or something. It always could be, right? You never know, right? I come home and I see dinner on the table. My wife generally makes dinner. Could be one of my kids made dinner. I assume it's my wife made dinner because that's more common occurrence. Okay.
Generally speaking, whatever we can show with through any kind of test that the blood is from a stutter, then there's no reason to be mocked.
Yeah, but you can never show that the blood is from a stutter. Meaning, once you have blood, you're never going to be able to test it to show that it's from a stutter. I don't think. All you can show is that there is a bleeding wound on the stutter. You're right. If you can actually have a chemical test that shows this blood came from the stutter, then that's a vada. You don't need any shulchan aruch if you have a vada. But I'm not sure that's so practical.
Well, but if you can, right, once you can show that there is blood coming from the stutter, then...
Then that's this sif, right? But like to say mamish, like you could prove where this blood came from. Of course, if you could, that would work. A vadai is a vadai. You don't need halachas when you have a vadai. I just don't know that that's a practical thing. Like the blood that came an hour ago, how are you going to prove where it came from? Other than just establish likelihood and reasonableness by what the sources are.
Well, the shorzorina doesn't count. Bar the marina doesn't count for things that are like annoying.
First of all, you're the same DNA. Now, that's the question. Is there some chemical test that would tell you where the blood came from, the stutter and the mucker? So I don't know. Someone should check out the chemistry. But the question is not just, is there a chemical test? The question is there a chemical test that would work for small amounts of blood? Right? Meaning, just there is a chemical test doesn't mean that it will work under less than perfect circumstances, and will it cost $1 million? So you don't have to. You don't have to. That's not called F. Schillefire.
Like I'll be starting an idea.
Right. That's not called F. Schillefire. Yes. That was just if you could, not if it cost you a lot of money.
No. I'm saying, no,
Enochanami. I just like, it could be that with more advanced science, it'll be the simplest thing in the world. But I'm saying, right now, I don't think it's like such a practical thing to test.
Right. Do we say we pass him?
We pass him like the shot. Okay.
So,
now, yeah.
Wouldn't that then indicate that here we wouldn't
not? Correct, Enochanami, you're right. Good point.
Also, oh yeah, so what, and the basis for the shaft they said was because it's cheskas tar, right? That's why, even though it's
yes.
Okay, so just going, couldn't that also be the definition for what Ellie asked? That means 50-50 sets rope. Couldn't it also be that it's a because of cheskas tahara that we were something that we told us from the matter?
I mean, you could theoretically discuss that, but that's not what's going on here. Maybe there's a regus in the cheskas tahara. It's not so posh, you know. Chazakas are tricky. Okay, now, I just want to point out that there is controversy about this also. You might say, what's the big controversy here? But the big controversy here is what the Note of Yehuda says in Sivkot, Sivkot and Chafches. He says, Va'ayin, no, maybe I don't mean that one. One second. Maybe. What I meant is Sivkot Chavtes. Sorry, it's a lot of constituents here. I'm trying to make sure to cover all the, you know, ones that are most either important for Havana, the basic concepts, or actually come up. Said the Yehuda Chavtes, I'm sure the Yehuda Shem Shekasev, the Gam Bazed, Davka Bimei Tara, Avali Mei Par Tvei, Eino Tol Mak, and that might be more along the lines of maybe he's really saying what Ohana was saying. No, this kula is only because it's a cheskas tara. Maybe he considers it more of a suffix. Then he admits that if the case of vesis kavua, and even be cheskas tuma would be makel. So here we have a bit of machlokas. Makas yedum utziyadam, then we're makel. But there's still a machlokas about it, says the Note of Yehuda. He says only if there's cheskas tara. Because he thinks that you're only makel if you have cheskas tahara, choose between these sides. It's not in this piskei tshuva, but if you look in the back of the Shulchan Aruch here, okay, with this we will. I'm almost done. In the he says that only if it is a only if you're bechezkas tara. Here it is. And then the chavos das in the back, he mostly discusses, if you remember, the Note of Yehuda distinguishing cheskas tom and cheskas tara all the way back in Sivkot and Chavdalet, and in a few other places. But here, he's the machalik between them, and here the Chavos Das says, even mak yudum motzi adam, you're not tole if it's becheskes toma only becheskes tara. The Chavos Das says it's ridiculous. That's not true. So really, let me just go back to what Elchanan said before. Says the Chavos Das, afilu becheskes toma. Now this is a very relevant machlokes because ma'ase b'chol yom rabbis get shailas of a something maka. Right? This is Maisim Cholio. So says Note of Yehuda, if she's now Toma Tmeya, she can't be Mako at all. Even if it's a Maki Yudur Motzi Adam, she can't be Mako. Because it could have been Nidam Nida. So he seems to think the Yasod of the Kula, meaning the Yasod of the Heter, is Chazaka. But we, most poskim, do not agree with him. The Chavos Das says that's not what it sounds like for any of the poskim. No, this works even with Cheskas Toma, because the Yesod of the Heter is
One second, let me just read his Lashon. Says the Chavos Das. He says, and I found there Hechri Yosud, Afilo ben Maka, she Yodua Shemotzi Adam, Eino Tola, Bezayin Nikiyam. Now, Mr. Yusuf, there are Goshe Lo Chilku, Lo Nira Kach, Chay Muchach, Vey Darki Moshe, et cetera, et cetera. So he says, no, the Yisod of the Heter is that this is Midin Matzoi. The Dam of the Maka is Matzoi, she Yodua Shemotzi Adam, and Matzoi beats Eino Matzoi. Dam Midas less Matzoi, yes, Mati. Ah, so, okay, hold that thought. Now, even according to the Rabbi Yehuda, you see, this is the Chavos Das. The Chavos Das says, and the Rabbi Yehuda even says this, and that's ridiculous. But let me get back to my main machlokas on the Rabbi Yehuda, which is, what's Taka called? Because I don't think it's relevant in this case. But if it, in a case where it might be relevant, what's Taka's Tom, what's Taka's Tara, here you get a fascinating, this is the Chavdalin, I think I called it? Yeah, you get a fascinating machlokas aposkim. What's called Cheskas Turma? What's called Cheskas Tara? Meaning, even according to Yehuda, he's making two assumptions. Number one, he's assuming that you need a Cheskas Tara. Number two, he's assuming that in Shimon Akiyam, she's not a Cheskas Tara. This gets a little tricky. So, if let me just make myself a little square, and this with this will almost end. No, the Yehuda, he makes two assumptions, as Mati pointed out. Assumption A is that even Maka Yadua Shemotzia Dam is only matter with Cheskas Tara. That's his first assumption. And regarding this assumption, the Chavos Das and others disagree with him. His second assumption is that during Shiva Nikiyim, she is Bechezkas Tumah. This gets the very Chomer Shailos. Everyone quotes Tosfos Zochin Daf Chav Tes. There's also, this also ties into the Sugya and Yevamos, the Flavelam and Aleph. What's your Chazaka called? Clearly, until she doesn't have Tatara. When she's still bleeding, have to target the first check to show she's not bleeding, she's Bechezkas Tumah. During Shiva Nikiyim, on the one hand, she's Bechezkas Tumah, she's still Amida. On the other hand, no, she's Bechezkas Tara, she stopped bleeding, she just needs to wait a number of days in this circumstance, and then she'll be okay. Right? So this gets very subtle. This really gets into some deep issues of the nature of Chazakas, it gets into really two issues, which I can't get into now. Number one, the nature of Chazakas. Does chazaka mean, like, what's going on now and supposed to happen, or what your current status is? Number two, it gets into the nature of Shiva Nikiyam. When the Torah was Gozer Shiva Nikiyam, did the Torah say, you've stopped bleeding? But the Xeris Akasi, you need Shiva Nikiyam? Or did the Torah say, I don't believe you stopped bleeding until you prove it for 7 days? Two different ways of reading. Obviously, it's Xeris Akasi or Shiva Nikiyam. But it's Xeris Akasi, the Torah said it thinks you're bleeding until you catch Shiva Nikiyam? Or no, Avadi, you're not bleeding. You're just in Xeris Akasa, 7 Akiyam for the Olamas El Yonim or whatever other reason.
Is there any aspect of affecting the Chazaka? Because maybe she's not even needed. Maybe she's only needed, or like the whole Daraisa aspect of it. Or once we have this one, we just say, you know, we're only.
Yeah, no, we're generally not going to go there. I mean, maybe in weird cases it'll be in Sari, but not normally. And actually, the Stalin, the Shivan Akiyam are for the Olamas El Yonim. That's why they'd be 7, right? There are 7 spheres. But that's not our topic now. Now, here you have
Baruch Hashem, I still haven't heard of people who are super machmir to have 49 Nikiyim. Even the people who total 49 times, that far we haven't gotten Baruch Hashem. Although I can see the Svara. It's just not practical. Anyway, in Sibkat Chavdalet, we had a big machlokas about this. The Bris Avram said, that's ridiculous. Once you have a Hefzik Tara, once she does one clean check, she's now stopped bleeding until proven otherwise. So here, that's the big question of, you know, this is a big machlokes, right? This is the question of, when does she switch
from Chezkas Tuma to Chezkas Tara. And again, I don't mean Tara. You asked me when she's allowed to be with her husband, or in the old days, you know, or in the upcoming days, she's allowed to eat truma, you know, that's when she goes to the mikvah. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about whether we assume she's bleeding or not. So here says the Rabbi Yehuda, for one reason or another, he is very machmer. He says only after Shiva Nikiyim. Until Shiva Nikiyim, she's Bechezkas Toma. But that's not so pasha. Says the Bris Avraham after the Hefsek Tara. Hefsek Tara means she does one bedika and she's clean. So at the moment she did the bedika, she wasn't bleeding. Now she's Bechezkas, not bleeding until proven otherwise. And then there are many in-betweens, right? He quoted some sofer here based on Ramah and Simon. Kuf Tzadi, who said that you need Gimel Yamin, right? This is based on the Ramah. He says, Acharei Gimel Nikiyim. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Why? Meaning, it has nothing to do with what the Torah says about Zava. The Torah doesn't say anything about Gimel. It's based on Shor Mamad. If 3 days of cleanliness proves she's Bechezkas cleanliness. Okay, now you'll ask, why didn't the Torah mention that? Because the Torah is not interested in what chazak you are. The Torah is interested, did you fulfill a din of Shiva Nikiyim or not? But if you want to know what your chazak is, which is not what the Torah is interested in, Tumah V'Tahara, but you just want to know, then you use the rule of Shomu in 3 days. And then the Chavos Das here, he quotes the Chavos Das in this Kisvei Tshuva as being similar too. Hold on, did I misstate I apologize, that was not Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, you need Gimel B'dikos. Also based on Shermanwood. And there's a Ramah, although you could say it's a Chumra B'Alma, but the Mordechai, which is a Ramah in Simon Kuf Tzadi that we'll get to, says you need Gimel Nikiyim, 3 days, both based on Shermanwood, but is it 3 B'dikos or 3 days? And then there's a Chavos Das, which he quotes as saying that even during Shiva Nikiyim, your Bechezkas Tara, Chavos Das actually says you need a Hefsek Tara and one clean Bedika. Okay, it could be because that's enough Bedikos, Me'ikra Din, B'di'eved, B'shas Adchak Gadol, etc. to go to Mikvah. So, meaning you need to do enough that you could now go to Mikvah. And even though we pass in regular life, you do a Hefsek Tara and one Bedika, you can't go to Mikvah. But, theoretically, in some extreme cases, you could. So, if you look, I know he's not quoted this way, but you look inside, he says you need a Hefsek Tara and one bedika. Okay, there are many different opinions when she switches from Cheskes Tumah to Cheskes Tara. Is it as soon as she stops bleeding for 1 second? Or as soon as she stops bleeding for 1 second and then does another bedika and is on her way to mikvah? Is it after Shor Muad she has 3 clean bedikas? Is it after Shor Muad she has 3 clean days? Or is it only after Shiva Nikiyim? Lemaisa, bottom line, the Noda Yehuda makes 2 assumptions. A, you need Cheskes Tara. B, you don't have Cheskes Tara till after Shiva Nikiyim, meaning till you're not in need anymore. I mean, he might admit theoretically if you delayed mikvah for some reason, some kip or something. But halacha lemaisa, we don't paskin like the whole Noda Yehuda. We disagree with him on at least one aspect. Halacha lemaisa, what do we say? We say that this is, we are tole b'maka, even during any part of Shiva Nikiyim. Meaning, either we pass like that comes das, or we pass like the Bris Avraham. Halacha l'maaseh, we don't worry about the Noda Yehuda. We say no matter when you are, if you have a maka that you do a motziyah dam, you can be tola on it. That's halacha l'maaseh. But for Hefsek Tara, we wouldn't. The truth is, we'll see later on, for Hefsek Tara, it wouldn't even help. Because even if we're told of a maka, you still haven't proven that you stopped bleeding because you might also be bleeding. Okay, but I explained that briefly, and I think you understood, but I will explain it again perhaps a little later, but I see the hour is already late now. So we didn't finish the day, but it was an extraordinarily long se'if. Just give me a quick 3 seconds. What are you guys up to in Seder? What? Okay, great. Okay, so you know what? We'll pick up Amir Tzashem on Tuesday. We'll continue. We just have a little more to finish in Sif Hey. We will pick up then. Jacob, you'll get the last one.
Technically, I can get it.